Amen. Some people with their dying words want to leave instruction and advice for their family and friends. Apparently, when George Best died in 2005, his last words to those with him were these words of advice: "Don't die like I did." George Best's last words: "Don't die like I did." Surely words of regret for a life that came short, what many people would say, came short of what it could have achieved. Well, tonight we come again to think about the dying words of a man far more significant than George Best, the dying words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear him this evening as he gives advice and instruction to his family and friends. It's important to remember that he wasn't crucified secretly. Around the cross there was a great crowd. Many voices could be heard. As we incline our ear this evening, he's hanging in awful agony, exposed to great shame and disgrace. And we can hear the religious leaders coming by with their mocking and their jeering and their sneering. In every way, they poured contempt on him. And beneath his feet, where his blood is dripping, there are the soldiers hardened to this act, and they're gambling for his clothes. And then there's the unruly mob shouting and heckling. Our Lord was crucified amidst many, many voices. But if you can picture in your mind's eye, amidst all the masses, there's a little group standing apart from everyone else, and they said very little. There was just four or five maybe in that group. They're mentioned in verse 25 here of John 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And our Lord lifts his eyes, and through that great crowd, he fixes them on his mother, Mary. And he wants to leave advice and instruction for her. And from the cross, he speaks to his mother. These are the last words that we know that he gave his mother. To her, he gave no explanation of the cross. He didn't give her a promise of paradise. Just a few words: that she should behave towards John as if he was her son. And he gives a few words to John, that he should behave towards Mary as if she was his mother. "Dear woman," he said, "here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." And with these words, Jesus graciously and tenderly puts his mother in the care of John, because he himself is dying. That's the scene we come to this evening. I want to highlight three things with you this evening. Three groups of people, if you like. Three types of people Jesus speaks to with these words. Firstly, Jesus speaks to the hurting. Jesus speaks to the hurting. Think of Mary. She's older now. The years have passed. Her firstborn son, Jesus, has grown up. She might be in her late 40s, early 50s at this point. It's almost certain that she's a widow. It seems very clear that Joseph has died by this point. And there she stands at Golgotha with a few other women and the Apostle John. And on the cross hangs her firstborn son. And friends, there would have been no one in all that crowd tied with such affection to Jesus as his mother, Mary. Mary would have doted on him as a little baby. If you like, she would have changed his nappies. She would have watched him as he learned to take his first steps. He was literally the perfect little boy. And now she's called to watch him suffer. And she saw that brow pierced with the cruel thorns, but she couldn't soothe it with her tender touch. And she watched his pierced hands and feet grow numb, but she couldn't hold them. She saw the soldiers dividing and gambling for his clothes, clothes that perhaps she had sewn and made with her own hands. And she can only stand and watch. She watched with the eyes of a mother as they beat him and led him to the cross. And she heard with the ears of a mother the swearing of the crowd and his cries of agony as he was tortured. And she watched as people walked by and slapped him and cursed him and jeered at him. Who can describe the weight of grief that Mary was experiencing? Perhaps parents who have stared in at an incubator. Perhaps even more strongly, parents who have buried a child. But there was none like Mary, who at this moment is losing not only her son, but her Saviour. It was such a great affliction. Just try to comprehend, friends, the thoughts and the emotions of that mother's heart. The one who hangs there is her child. It was such a great affliction. One writer has said, if Christ was the man of sorrows, was Mary not the mother of sorrows? And Jesus can see her from the cross. And he can see her in that little group. He's dying. Who's going to take care of Mary? And none of his brothers or sisters are there. They have abandoned him. And none of them believe. Who is going to take care of Mary? And so Jesus brings himself to speak again with great effort, remember. He decides to commit Mary into John's care. He says to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he says to John, here is your mother. And we're told from that hour, John took her to his own home. Dear woman, here is your son. It's not that John is being told to go to Mary for help. The opposite is the case. Mary is being put into the care of John. And friends, as we listen to these words this evening, isn't it wonderful to remember that even as the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross, working out our salvation, he thought and made provision for his mother. I think we can notice two things about Jesus as he speaks to his hurting mother, as he speaks to those who are hurting this evening. We can see, for one thing, his obedience. We can see his obedience, because with these words, Jesus is keeping the fifth commandment, isn't he? What's the fifth commandment? Honour your father and your mother. He's honouring his father, going obediently to the cross, despite the suffering and the shame of going there. And now he's honouring his mother. We perhaps too often assume that the fifth commandment is only for boys and girls. And it is. But it's not only for boys and girls. Yes, when we're small at home, honouring our father and mother means obeying them. And so, children and young people here this evening, that's what this is saying to you this evening. Jesus is reminding you of the importance of honouring and obeying parents. But as we get older and more independent, we're still to honour our parents. Even when we've left home completely, as Jesus Christ had, he had completely left home, he still honours his parents. It means respecting and loving and caring for and providing for our ageing parents. So see this perfect man honouring his mother, keeping all the law to provide pardon for you and me who have broken this commandment and all the commandments, time without number. I think it's a challenge to us, friends, about our own conduct to our parents. Your mother or father may still be living. How are you treating them? Are you honouring them? Does this example of Christ put you to shame? Maybe you're here this evening and you're unable to speak any good about your parents. You didn't have a pleasant childhood, but you can still honour them. If you can't do anything else, you can honour them by refusing to speak ill of them. Friends, we are not, while we live on this earth, discharged from the obligation to care for our parents. And if our Lord Jesus, hanging in agony, thought to make provision for his mother, then surely so should we. So we see his obedience as he speaks to the hurting. But we also see his compassion, don't we? We see his compassion as he speaks to the hurting. In the midst of his suffering, who is he thinking of? His mother. A weak, frail, sad, and now lonely woman. He's displaying monumental tenderness. He cares for her. This is precisely the sort of Saviour he is, friends. Tender, compassionate, caring. When we turn to him and trust him, that's exactly what we find. The heart that overflowed on the cross with love for Mary is the heart that never changes. It's still full of compassion today. How reassuring, how comforting that is. When we're at our lowest and our sorest, here is a Saviour who sees us and cares for us. Remember Mary. Think of the agony she must have been experiencing. Think of the hurt that she must have been experiencing. Christians this evening, you will not be spared pain and suffering. You will know what it is to be hurting people. Here we have Jesus in this saying on the cross, speaking to the hurting. And we must look to him as Mary was doing in her darkest hour. We must come to the cross and look to our Saviour, because he's still the same today and he still speaks to the hurting. He's the tender one who sees the hurts and the fears and the circumstances of every single one of our lives. No wonder Peter would say later in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So we see from this saying, Jesus speaks to the hurting. A second thing we see this evening is that Jesus speaks to the straying. He speaks to the straying. As you know, this is John's Gospel. John is the one writing here. And look at how he describes himself. Verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. The disciple whom Jesus loved. This is almost certainly John referring to himself here. Again and again in his Gospel, this is how he refers to himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it's not that he was the favourite disciple. It's not that he was the only disciple that Jesus loved. Not at all. I think John was simply just so conscious of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that his heart was always saying, he loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. Therefore, he could only ever describe himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He has such an appreciation for the love of his Saviour that he stands near the cross. And here, at the foot of the cross, He hears this saying. He hears the Lord speak to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." And he hears Jesus speak to him, "Here is your mother." And John is given a great task. He's entrusted with the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus. And although he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, let's remember, John had been a bit of a chicken, hadn't he? He had turned on his heels and ran away with all the other disciples. Matthew tells us, Matthew 26, verse 56, when Jesus was arrested, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Here we have John, and he has returned to the cross, siding with the Saviour, standing with the Saviour, identifying himself with the Saviour. And Jesus speaks to him. I think this is so encouraging, friends. Because we, like John, have strayed, haven't we? Are you here this evening and you know what it's like to be unfaithful to your Saviour? To have run from him at some point or drifted away from him in your affections? We sometimes think, will he accept me back? Is there any role for me to do anymore? Here we see John, the backslider, returning to the cross. And he receives pardon and grace and forgiveness. Not only that, but he's given a position of great honour. That job of caring for Mary. Christian friends, I suspect many, if not all of us, have wandered from the Lord Jesus many, many times. Perhaps you have been ashamed to say that you know him. Perhaps you've been too embarrassed to say that you love him. Maybe in school or work or amongst your family or friends. And you have wandered from him in your affections. Maybe you're here this evening and you would describe yourself as a backslider. Perhaps in the hour of trial or the time of testing, you let him down and you denied him. Well, friends, may divine grace melt your heart this evening. Look at John. Listen to Jesus speaking to John. He doesn't rebuke him, but he instead places on him an unspeakable privilege. He speaks to the straying. And he accepts us back into the family. That's what we see here, isn't it? The family of Christ, this spiritual family. John no longer just a beloved disciple. The relationship has changed. Both he and Mary are received into the family of God. Think of the parable of the prodigal son, how he returned and he was accepted back open arms. That's what we have here. That's what happens every straying believer who returns to the cross. So are you here this evening? Would you describe yourself as a backslider? Have you strayed? Well, come to Jesus. Come to the cross. And you will find pardon and forgiveness and restoration and service. We know that Jesus received John back completely. Because he gave John a work to do. He gave John a job to do. And that brings us to think thirdly. Jesus speaks to the burdened. He speaks to the burdened. Yes, he speaks to the hurting. We thought about Mary. And he speaks to the straying. We thought about John coming back. Now we see he speaks to the burdened. It was into John's hands that Jesus committed his mother. Now that may well have been a burden to John. Think about it. Some of you yourselves this evening may know the increased load that that would have placed upon John. Had John a wife, I wonder what John's wife would have said when he returned home that very hour with Mary. Had he children, I wonder what they would have said. This would have affected the whole family. It would have involved the family income. It would have involved a lot of time. Perhaps there was times when Mary got in the road. It may have been a great burden to John, but it certainly must have been a great blessing to him. Mary would have been of great help to John in his ministry. I think of the hours of fellowship that they must have had together as they talked about Jesus, thought about the things he had told them, thought about the works he had accomplished in front of them. They would have been able to comfort each other in their loss. Perhaps Mary helped John to write this gospel account. This service brought with it both burden and blessing. There's burden and blessing here for John. And friends, that's always the way with Christian service. Burden and blessing. Perhaps you're here this evening and God has called you to a particular task, a task which you feel is too difficult. It's very demanding. In many ways, it's beyond you. It's asking an awful lot from you. Perhaps like John maybe did, you feel as if you've been given a great burden this evening. But don't you find that when you give yourself to such tasks, often they are a means of great blessing? We often think if we avoid burdens, it will be better. John learned that the opposite is the case. That this burden, it brought amazing blessing, not only to himself and his family, not only to the Christian community in Jerusalem, but to the whole world, even today. Who knows, friends, God may have in store some wonderful task for you, which may seem like a great weight. It might be a burden. It may not be what you want, but it might bring great blessing to both you and to many others. It's amazing what blessings God can bring when we carry and do the tasks to which he has called us with thankfulness and good grace. And so in this saying this evening, he speaks to the hurting, and he speaks to the straying, and he speaks to the burdened. Are you hurting this evening? Will you come to the cross? Are you straying this evening? Will you come to the cross? Are you burdened this evening? You must come to the cross. Maybe you have never yet come to the Lord Jesus. Will you come this evening? Will you come to the cross? Hear him speaking to you. Hear how he still cares. Can you hear him? If so, friends, will we listen? Amen.